And I said, well, that's because no one's told me that they want to do a testimony. And it wasn't Sarah. It was someone else. And then the next day, Sarah called and said, hey, can I do my testimony? That's it. Do it. Thank you. It is, should be on, yep.
Hello? Oh, yep. There we go. Good morning. I'm not going to touch that. Okay, so I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder in 2002, but my struggle began long before that. Bipolar disorder usually manifests itself in adolescence, and for me it began to creep into my life around age 15. I was living with my parents in a small town called Tracy. Population was 4,000. We moved there from Sacramento between my freshman and sophomore years. My family didn't go to church before we moved to Tracy, and we didn't go to church in Tracy either. My parents called themselves Christians, but I didn't know what that meant. When I was 16, I was going to the continuation school in Tracy. It was a strict program, but it would get me to graduate. I understood the importance of getting a high school diploma, but I had no prospects for college. One of my friends introduced me to a guy named Colin. We started dating. He was a high school dropout, but I graduated from high school in May of 1994, a full year early. In my mind, this just meant more time to party and drink with my friends. I was definitely missing something. One day I got up and Colin was in the living room of my house. He said he had gotten in a fight with his mom and she kicked him out. My mom let him move in with us. I felt trapped in that relationship. We would go over to friends' houses and drink or smoke pot or both. This was my life, and it was unfulfilling. I came up with a great plan. I thought, if I could have a baby, maybe that would finally help me feel complete. Great plan. In December of 1994, at age 17, I got pregnant. I stopped drinking and smoking and attempted to grow up. My parents were moving and offered to let me stay with them, but they wouldn't let Colin come. If I thought I was stuck before, I was really stuck now. After all, we were going to have a baby together. So we got our own place, and our relationship was rocky at best. But we were going to have a baby, and that would fix everything. On September 19th, 1995, Angela was born. This gave me a new perspective and an outlook that I hadn't seen before. When I was 19, I left Colin, moved back in with my parents, and we all moved together back to the Bay Area to a town called San Leandro. We had lived in that area when I was a baby, and my parents had gone to church in Castro Valley. They decided to go back to church, and I decided to go with them. It soon became clear that this is what had been missing in my life. It was there that I asked God into my heart. The church had a big youth group and a young adult program, and I began attending the group for young adults. I prayed for God's will in my life. I was baptized. I had Angela dedicated. I knew that I needed to have faith, and God was going to take care of me. In October of 1997, I met Adam at church. We began dating, and I continued to pray for God's will in my life. Even though I had the Holy Spirit living in me, I was restless and looking for direction. I had another stroke of bipolar genius. I signed up to join the Coast Guard. In September of 1999, I shipped out to Cape May, New Jersey, to go to boot camp. Within a few days, I'd somehow strained my neck and was constantly in pain. I couldn't eat either. After a few days of not being able to eat, I fainted. They sent me to the hospital to be checked out, and finding nothing wrong with me, they sent me back to my company. The next day, I fainted again. It was back to the hospital, then back to the company. After the third time I passed out, they asked me if I really wanted to be there. I told them that I really wanted to help people, but I guess I just wasn't good enough. In reality, I think I was trying to circumvent God's plan. You see, back home, Adam had said goodbye to me, thinking we were over. But then he got a phone call that changed both of our lives forever. He was told that he had a son. Meanwhile, back in New Jersey, I was getting diagnosed with an adjustment disorder with anxiety, and they sent me home. When I got home, Adam told me about his phone call, and it was apparent to me that God had a hand in my departure from the Coast Guard. So while Adam was sorting out what to do about Jason, I decided to go to therapy. Within a few months, my therapist recommended that I be put on antidepressant medications, so I went to the clinic. There, I was officially diagnosed with depression and given medication. I was finally starting to feel good. Maybe too good. What I didn't know was that the antidepressants were pushing me into a hypomanic phase. So Adam had a son that he began to visit on weekends, and I was feeling good. In July of 2000, Adam took me to Yosemite National Park to hike up Half Dome. While up there, Adam proposed to me. A few months later, we got married. We wanted to get pregnant right away, so I had to stop taking my antidepressants. I didn't consult a doctor or talk to a therapist. I just stopped taking them. In May of 2001, we got pregnant with Matthew. My pregnancy was an emotional roller coaster. We moved from the Bay Area so that we could afford to live on one income. We weren't going to church, and I'd stopped relying on God to take care of me. Needless to say, it was a really hard time. I knew that once the baby was born, I needed to go back on my medication. In January of 2002, Matthew was born. Before I even got discharged from the hospital, I asked for my medication. I started taking it again, but it wasn't making me feel good anymore. I just felt anxious and depressed. I made an appointment with the doctor, and after the appointment, I decided to check out the health center. We were new to Kaiser, and I found out that you could rent books for free. My eye caught on a book called Why Your Depression Isn't Getting Better, so I checked it out. As I was reading the book, I felt myself relating to many stories written in it. I realized that I wasn't just struggling with depression, I had bipolar disorder. I realized that much of my reckless behavior in my youth could be attributed to hypomanic episodes, and the drinking and drug use was my way of self-medicating. I was so relieved at the discovery. It was like my life made sense. I went back to my next doctor's appointment with the book in my hand, and I told the doctor that I had bipolar disorder. He looked at me, looked at the book, and said, "Okay." I thought that was easy, but the hard work had really just begun. But remember, I'd walked away from God and wasn't living according to his word. So let me explain how God brought me back into his loving arms. Adam and I had been to a few different churches in Fairfield, but we never stayed more than a few weeks, and we never found one that clicked. Until January of 2006, when Angela was in the fourth grade. Her class went on a field trip to Coloma. I was chosen to be a parent chaperone. Angela was in a group with a parent leader named Joy. Joy's daughter Cassidy was in my group. So me and Joy spent the next 3 days checking in on each other, making sure our kids were behaving properly. When we got back from Coloma, Joy and I discovered that we lived in the same neighborhood, right around the corner from each other. So in June, we invited Joy and her family over to our court for a block party. There we found out that her husband, Gary, was the pastor of a church right down the street. We decided to check it out. Right away, I felt accepted. I can tell that this is where I belonged. This is what had been missing since we moved to Fairfield. I didn't even know what I needed from a church, but God had a plan. In September, a bunch of ladies from our church went to the Women of Faith Conference in Sacramento. There, I rededicated my life to the Lord. I began reading my Bible again and praying. My life was beginning to become stable for the first time in 29 years. Solano Valley Church had a Celebrate Recovery program, and I began attending on a regular basis. I found a place where it was okay to be broken. It was okay to feel vulnerable. I learned how to tell people that I had bipolar disorder without fear of what they might think. This time spent attending Celebrate Recovery was a crucial part of my learning what it meant to trust others. In 2009, we made a decision to go to court and try and get full custody of Jason. We had been to court many times before, and we never won, but we really felt like this is something we had to do. Jason's mom was neglectful and abusive, and we had to do something. We knew that if we had any chance of winning, we had to get a lawyer. We had no idea how we were going to pay for it, but we just stepped out on faith. The first motion we filed for temporary custody was granted. That meant we got to pick him up and bring him home. It took 3 days for the judge to hear all of the evidence. Then we waited 3 months for the ruling. When we got the ruling, we found out that we had won full custody. The most amazing part is that the Lord had provided every penny we needed for the lawyer. We prayed and God answered our prayers in so many ways. One of my favorite verses of all time is John 16:33. Jesus says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world." In spite of the inevitable struggles we face, we're not alone. Jesus does not abandon us to our struggles. If we remember that the ultimate victory has already been won, we can claim the peace of Christ in the most troublesome times. Thank you for letting me share.